Hey there, Normalized Crime listeners. Thanks for tuning in to the bonus episode from our Patreon archives. If you want to hear the latest and greatest content, head over to patreon.com/normalizedcrime and subscribe to our Patreon today. Catch you on the other side.
You are listening to Normalized Crime, an in-depth look at gang life and all the effects that come along with it.
Yo, what's going on? It's Birdo here, riding solo for this one. I just wanted to tap in with you guys and follow up on the the profile that I had promised. That was for Anas Salam, also known as 19 Moly. So if I start from the beginning with Moly, first of all, let me just say this, right? Let me say, you know, thanks everybody always, you know what I mean, for tuning in and showing your support. But, you know, I just want to let you guys know, like, when I get into these profiles, man, I put myself back in that place. You know, I put myself as best as I can, you know, because I can't think like I thought then. You know, I was such a kid and so immature, you know, didn't really understand what I thought I did. But anyways, so I try to put myself back in that place to really, really show how genuine these relationships were and just how it really was. And not to glorify it now, you know, in retrospect, but just to try to shed some light, you know, on how it really was and why, you know, we acted the way we did. You know, like, it was more than just a regular friendship. You know, it was a life or death brotherhood. You know, that's the way we thought about it. That's the way we lived. But so I just want to say that, because I know when I get into these stories, man, especially when I talk about guys like Moly and because Moly was a good dude, man. I'll be honest with you. You know, I didn't really think I was gonna like Moly. I remember when he started coming around. So his backstory is a little weird, you know, kind of unfamiliar to me. He's got two older brothers that were kings. I don't know if he has any other family, but he's got two other brothers that were kings, Walla and Bear. Bear wasn't around when Moly came around us. Bear wasn't around. I think he was already locked up for a crime. And Walla was Sawyer. And Walla was a cool dude. Like, he wasn't a bad guy, but he wasn't known for anything in the street, you know what I'm saying? Nobody was like worried about Walla, you know. I never had an issue with him. He was a cool dude to me. I ain't got no problem with him. He just wasn't known for, you know, anything. And I say that because of how known Moly ended up becoming for being one of those guys in the street, you know. And so, you know, just to show the contrast, I mean, these guys are brothers, but you know, Moly was a rare breed, man. When he first started coming around, you know, obviously the only thing I knew about him was that Walla was his brother and Bear, but I didn't know Bear. And like I said, you know, Walla's reputation wasn't known for being like a gunner or somebody in the street, and that's what we were. So if you weren't that, we kind of just like, you know, like shunned you. Like, it wasn't like we thought we were better than you. We just knew that we weren't going to be the type to kick it with you, you know, when it came to that king shit. And so, I kind of had a preconceived notion about Moly. You know, I kind of looked at it like, all right, well, his brother ain't really with the smoke, so, you know, why would he be? And, you know, meaning, you know, his brother wasn't down to be shooting people and stuff like that. But, you know, we gave him a chance, bro. And we gave him a chance. And wow, was I surprised. You know, he was always down for whatever, man. He didn't have a scary bone in his body, man, when it came to that street life. And at first I was like, I think it was because I was like in denial myself, because I wanted to be right about him not, you know, being a kind of street guy. And so I was like, in my mind, you know, I was kind of like, this dude's probably just retarded, you know? I didn't want to give him the credit, I think, because I was so, you know, young and naive. But I look back now, man, and now it was 100% genuine. He was just but I ended up liking him, though, when I seen it. Like, at first I judged him, like, ah, excuse me. And then I started hanging out with him, and I ended up liking him, you know. But our relationship was short-lived in the street because I ended up getting locked up. So when he started coming around, I was a kasinga. And I liked the man. We had some good times. You know, we had some funny times. I never put in no work with him. But that doesn't mean I didn't know about him, you know? And so, yeah, man, he was one of the dudes that he would always willing to be around. And so I think it was June 2003 when I first got locked up. When I went to Wales. Well, not right away. I went to DC first and then I went to Wales. But it was June 2003. And so I probably had spent like a couple months with Molly. And then I went to Wales, you know, as the Kasinga. And so when I went up there and I started like holding the house down and all that, you know, basically like being in control, Molly ended up coming up there. He caught a case. I believe here's the crazy part. And I could talk about this because it's like known there's been a conviction, you know, and so there's really no going back. But so Molly, he ended up catching a case for like, I want to say possession of a firearm or something stupid, but, or maybe it was a shooting, right? So he was wanted, and he was wanted from the police at this time, right? This is 03. And, you know, the rumor, you know, allegedly that he shot this snake, right? This cobra, shot him on somewhere over there. I don't know, whatever, killed him, right? This was a rumor. And so when that happened, he had the gun, he brought it back. And I think he was on 38th, I think, which is like a spot where we are 34th is where we used to kind of be like, Toots family was over there and shit at the time. And, so we used to be around there too, man. We used to kind of spread out. But anyways, so he comes. I remember him telling me exactly how it happened, right? So boom, you know, he shoots this whatever. And then they said that he ran a 34th, right? And then when he got there, the cops were there looking for somebody else. And they just happened to run across Molly. But Molly, he hid the gun, right? And so they didn't find it. But when they snatched him up from being on the porch, they found like a bullet in his sleeve. And so they were looking for the gun. You know, he kept like extra bullets in his sleeve in case, you know, he really saved something for the run in a different aspect. And so, they end up taking him in, but he don't get charged. Excuse me. Not very professional, but I've been up since midnight and it's 12 o'clock afternoon right now. So I did a 12 hour shift and just came home and did this. But anyway, so I apologize. But so they take him in, right? And then here's the twisty part. This is the part that looks crazy. And I probably sound stupid right now because it's been a long time. And plus, I just smoked earlier, but trust me, it'll come full circle. So that case, somebody ends up getting caught for the case. And for some reason, this guy that got caught says he did it, says that he was the shooter. And he's a kid. You know, he was a kid at the time. He was like 15. And I know, because he came to Wales, I mean, not Wales, he came to DT. You got to remember, I'm in DT. you know, waiting to get sentenced. I was there for a month. And so when I was there, man, plenty of people came in. And so anyways, he catches the case, says he did it, even though he didn't. And he ends up getting 30 years, 15 in and 15 out, you know. By the grace of God, he's out now, you know, thank God, you know, hopefully he's doing good for himself and all that. But so he did the crime. I mean, he did the time for the crime. Crazy. Anyways, so Molly also goes to DT, but this is after all that happened. When he comes there, I'm already in Wales. So by the time he came to DT, I was already in Wales. So, I mean, before he came, if you want me to talk later, let me talk about before he came. So I was in DT before he came, and it's crazy because it ended up being flooded with like kings. A bunch of kings started to come. Let me see who all came, man. I remember guys were coming like through there too that ended up getting out. Like, well, this dude wasn't a king, but he was a future. This dude Bentna. But then, you know, there were some other guys. Mike ended up coming through, and you got to remember Mondi was there at the same time as me. But they were keeping us separate. Yeah, so Mondi was there, man, but they were keeping it separate. They had him hemmed up because he had a probation violation too, where he was facing the same crime as I was, first degree reckless endangerment and safety. And so I was there. Obviously, I got charged, you know, going back. This is the case where Lil Wolf told on me when I shot at the guys that were on 19th Street and I ended up hitting somebody. And so Little Wolf ended up telling on me. So I was there anyways. And so these guys come through. And so I knew a bunch of them were going to end up in Wales, and I was already going to be up there before them. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, just thinking ahead, like, all right, there's going to be guys up there, you know, that I know. And so I get up there, and when you first get there, this is back when I went, when you first get there, you go into like a little staffing cottage. It was called Marquette at the time. And it's basically where you get like, you get classified, you know, they classify you for, you know, a bunch of things. Are you gang? Are you in a gang? Are you older? Are you younger? Are you, you know, whatever it is, you have drug problems. There's a bunch of different classifications that do. And then they put you in a cottage based on that classification. I only went up there with a year. This is the craziest part of my story for early on in my life. To me, you know, about being locked up. I went up there for a year. I got sentenced to a year. But in the juvenile system, there's a unique clause, and it's very unfair. It's not like the adult system where if you get sentenced to a year, that's a year and you're out. It doesn't matter. No, it's not like that. So in the juvenile system, this is what it used to be like. I was 15 when I first got sentenced, right? So I was about to be 16, but I was 15. And so they gave me a year. So then I turned 16. But because I wasn't 17 by the time my year ended up, you know, my year finished, they could technically extend me a year if they wanted to. And they could go to court, take me to court and ask for an extension. It's the craziest shit ever. That actually ended up happening to me, you know. You know, I was going to foreshadow it, but it ended up happening to me. And at the craziest of times, man. But I'll get to that because that's also happening well. So anyways, man, I'm in Marquette and you know, you're supposed to be there for like 3 weeks and then they classify you and you go to this cottage, right? So day four, I'm there. I'm sitting at the table for my rec because you only get one rec. I think it's like 1 hour a day. And Mondi comes walking in the door. And it was the craziest feeling, man. Like you wouldn't believe it, man. It was like you were dropped in some other place on earth, and you finally seen a friendly face, you know, somebody that you knew, and not only that, like somebody that you were like super tight with. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause I'd see the guys and some of the guys that come through, and yeah, like I talk to them, like, oh, what's up, cool. It feels good to have guys around, but some of the guys is not your homies. You know what I'm saying? You just know them. And in this case, man, you know, Mondi was like my ace. You know what I mean? Like we had got caught together. You know what I'm saying? Like he was the one, I was the two. Like it was crazy to see him. And so I'm like in shock. You know what I mean? And right away, you know, he's celled up with another dude because he just happened to, you know, he's coming in. So they just put him with whoever. But then we request to be cellies, you know, like we're kicking it the little time we can. Like we're yelling out the window towards each other, talking, you know what I'm saying? And then finally, like we become like the kitchen prep guys. I become the cook and he's like the setup guy. And so we're always out together, you know what I'm saying? And Marquette, that's a privilege because you're always locked in, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, we were, and then we ended up being cellies and you know, we're kicking it, man. I can't remember how long we were together, maybe like a week and a half or something. And then out of nowhere, they call me and they're like, hey, you're going to your cottage. I thought it was kind of sketchy because it was early. Like everybody's like, damn, you're going already. You know what I'm saying? By what the norm was, by that standard, you know, everybody was kind of like, damn, like you're going to your cottage already. I end up going to Draper, and Draper was basically the long-term gang unit. You know, I'm in there with all the big boys, you know what I'm saying? And once you know it, as soon as I went to the cottage, they took Mondi and they moved him to Lincoln Hills, which is another juvenile facility. And they wanted a separate, we had that keep separate on this that followed us from DT. It's just they didn't know about it at that time. And then finally it got to them. And they're like, damn, we got these dudes celled up. You know what I'm saying? They're like, we got these dudes in a cell together. They're kicking and they're supposed to be on a keep separate. And so that's why they ended up putting me in the pod in my cottage and they moved him to Lincoln Hills. And so, yeah, man, once I got to Draper, there was a familiar face there. And it was a good familiar face. You know, it was a decent one. It was somebody who I liked, I cared about. It was 2-bit. And you know, he was there for like Grand Theft Auto. He had a 3 to 5 year sentence. So I only had a year sentence. He had a 3 to 5, which means that you got to do 3 years mandatory before you can get out. But usually those guys, they get reviewed after like 18 months and then they start getting like considered for a release. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes they'll do 2 years, 2.5 years, you know. But the MR is 3 years and then you get 2 years on probation. And so he was there and, you know, I was happy to see 2-Bit. Now you got to remember, this is, I've explained this before about 2-Bit, you know, he was there for my murder. And so, you know, that's kind of tricky, you know, once all the adrenaline goes away and all everything settles and you're kind of living your life now. It had been, you know, it had been a little bit of time since it happened. And so now I'm like, damn, now you're like kind of in crisis mode. Like, damn, this dude knows a secret about me that can put me away for the rest of my life. And so I had to play nice with him. You know, I liked him, but at the same time, you know, you always got to be careful. And then I told you guys there was rumors about that he had cooperated on the Grand Theft Auto cases on this dude named My Life, we used to call him, and he was a Sawyer. And, you know, so there was rumors, but there was no paperwork yet. And anyways, I was happy to see him, man. And I'm talking to him like, what's up, man? What's going on? You know, he ended up being like, he ended up being kind of a weird dude, to be honest with you, being locked up with. Like, one thing about me, man, I can say, and maybe this doesn't fly in a lot of places. You know, maybe in real, you know, like in other real settings, you know, penitentiaries, they wouldn't accept it. But one thing about me is I'm always me, you know, and I don't care who I'm around to be me. Meaning like, you know, I don't feel like I have to be, just because I'm in prison, I have to be like standing up against the wall with a meme mug on my face all day looking around like, you know, like a tough guy, like, you know. And I think, you know, I like to be like me, man. I like to be, you know, like outgoing and kick it with people and laugh. And I don't care. Like, you know, the flakes knew what it was. You know, that's the way I thought about it. Like if they wanted some, you know, we was going to bring it to them. And then, and we did get into some static with, you know, we got into some problems with the 2-1. They all clicked up. But anyways, So yeah, man, like I ended up kicking him a 2-bit, but he was more like on a too serious, too cool to really kick it. You know what I mean? It was weird. And then he ended up getting into a fight on his own. And went to the hole, right? And so I was in Draper by myself now. But brother started coming in. Mike came in. Let me see who all came in. Mike came in. Los was there, but then they moved him to Lincoln Hills. It was weird. At this time, let me see who was all there. Mike, there was a when I went to the hole the first time, I went to the hole for what did I go to the hole for the first time? I think it was for drinking. I went to the hole for drinking. And while I was there, little Ray Ray came in. He was a Sawyer. He ended up being my guy. We'll get into that. But he came. That dude Bentner did end up coming up there. But later on, this brother named Hobby came. He was from 23rd. And then Moley came. Moley was up there. There was a bunch of us, man. There was a bunch. Some of them were futures, you know. Some of them were brothers, but there was like 9 or 10 of us. Nah, there was probably like 12 of us, at one time, and so, you know, trying to manage a bunch of different personalities, especially in jail, you kind of just let guys be them, but you let them know like don't do no unnecessary shit, you know, because you know everybody wants to go home at the end of the day, but. We always got to make an example if that's what it calls for. So anyways, man, when I was already moving and grooving, a lot of these guys came in, meaning like I was already in my cottage. I was, you know, like I had a job and, you know, I always hustled, man. I always had a hustle. Anytime I was locked up, I never stood idle and just, you know, like I always worked. I worked hard as hell in the kitchen, man. I used to be making like 12, 14 hour days, man, 5 in the morning or 5 in the evening or later. And just to make money, man, just to, you know, stacking in pennies up literally and everything. Then I started, you know, I got a plug in the kitchen. I started hustling cigarettes and all types of shit. You know, it's just always how it was. And, you know, the guys would get in on it too. I let the guys in on it too, you know, and we had a good group of guys up there, man. And, I know it took a while, but I'll bring Molly back in the picture here. Right. And so one time, man, we had a huge meeting in the kitchen. I called everybody down there because I had some juice there. I was cool with a lot of the guards, the cooks. I take that back, not the guards, but the cooks. And so I used to get what I want. And anyways, I called all the brothers down there one time. And man, we hung out. We had like, I wish I knew where it was at, man. But the dude brought us a camera and we were taking like pictures in the back and like the storage room. You know, there's like 9 of us, you know, all in there. There was Wild Walkers, 2-3. There were some Sawyers in there, 1-9. And, you know, we kicked it, man. We were all together, though, you know. And that was one thing that was cool about, you know, like that element. You're in places like that and you're not alone, you know. And so anyways, man, one time we got word that these dudes all wanted to click up. The 2-1s, there was an OA over there, the SGDs. And I think there was like a couple, like one left there. And a BP. And so basically everybody from the South Side that wasn't the King, they wanted to collide, to be together and against us, basically, you know? And so when that happened, I was like, all right, well, let's just move on them then, you know? And, you know, I had the guys move on them. Moley moved. I remember Moley ran up on his 2-1 that I actually went to elementary school with. I was actually real cool with the dude, Richard Macho. He was a cool dude. Just happens like that. Grow up in elementary and went different ways. And then 2-bit fought this dude, ran up on this dude named Los. and he was a 2-1. And he was probably the rowdiest out of all them dudes. That's what's crazy. Lil Los. And then Mike fought this dude, Ephraim. I think he's like a twin, a 2-1. And so I end up fighting this Cobra dude from Andrews. And we know Andrews is, I've explained this before, Andrews is a sex offender cottage. But whatever, we ain't got to get into all that. And so anyways, that had to happen, man. And it was just one of them things, like, you know, we moved, you know, and it had to happen, you know. And it's crazy, man, because you try to be kind of in harmony in those places because you're already at a disadvantage. You know, you're already away from home and all that shit. But, you know, it just is what it is, man. Like, you got to carry that shit over. You can't, you got to keep the same energy you had in the street with dudes. You know, you can't switch up. So, especially when you're that young, man, and wilding and out of control. And that's what it was. So it was on site. You know, when dudes wanted it, we would give it to them. So, you know, even if they didn't want it, we would give it to them. That's just kind of how it was, man. But, you know, to be honest too, man, we would also have to give it to each other as far as, you know, the violations and all that shit. And so it brings me to a Moley story. So one time, you know, there was like three or four of us. We were playing basketball in the gym. And maybe there was like six of us. I think it was like a 3-on-3. Yeah, it was like a 3-on-3. And, you know, listen, I'll be honest with you. Like, a lot of the brothers, a lot of the kings, they're not the most athletic guys. It just so happened that I grew up playing sports. Like, I grew up in sports. Like, you know, I'm not the greatest at, but I can play everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty good. I'm court, got good coordination, all that shit. And so, like, I was doing, like, I'm busting their ass. Like, these dudes can't play. You know what I mean? They couldn't play. And so Moley kind of got, like, a little competitive. And he got mad. And, like, I drove one time and he slapped me. You know, like act like he was going for the ball, I felt like, and slapped me. And I just kind of looked at him. Now, you got to remember, I got the house at this time. I looked at him. I just told him, like, I was like, calm down, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll take that as an accident. He's like, my bad, brother, my bad. And I'm like, all right. And so we start playing again. And then it happens again, but it's, like, on my arm. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm done, man. You know, I'm good. And I ended up giving Moley a violation behind that shit, you know, because I just felt like, you know, at that point, man, it's like, I let you know, like, calm down. It's not that serious. You know what I mean? We're out here wrecking. And then you turn it into that, you know, where you do it again. And I don't, it felt intentional, you know? And so we were cool after that, though, man. We were always guys, and he wasn't even mad at me about it. He understood it. You know, he was caught up in the moment. But when I got out in 05, man, and he was out before he got deported, man, we were kicking it. We used to drink all the time together. He was funny, man. He was true Palestinian. Like, he was a good dude, man. I liked Moley. He had a good heart. He was ready to ride. And I knew about it because I would hear things about him. I would hear, you know, shit he would be doing and just how he would be moving. And I respected him for it. And shit, even being locked up, like, Moley, he was always ready to go. So going a little farther down the line, though, I'll give you some, this is some juice, right? This is a little bit farther. So we get indicted, man. And right after we got indicted, Moley had got charged for kidnapping Gordy. You know, he knew Gordy was hot. He knew Gordy had cooperated. And him and this dude named Skeddies snatched Gordy up. And, you know, I don't know what he was going to do to him, man. We were already locked down. I don't know what he was going to do. You know what I mean? Maybe, I don't know. Moley was crazy, man. Moley was a crazy dude. So ain't no telling what he would have did, you know? And somehow, you know, he ended up getting away and whatever. But, you know, obviously Gordy cooperated and Moley got, I think he's shy. I want to say he got like 19 years or some shit for that. He did some time. He did some shit ton of time too. And that was right after, he got indicted right after us. Basically got superseded to our indictment. And So that was super crazy. You know, that was one thing about him. So Moley was ready to go on anybody. And here's the funny one. This is the twisty one that I like, and this is probably the conclusion of him, of Moley. So, in a twist of irony, you know, I've always liked Moley, man, and I feel like Moley always liked me and my brother, and like two, like he always respected us because he knew how we got down. And so, you know, obviously I'm not active. I'm not a part of the nation. I don't talk to dudes. I don't, you know, it's all whatever. Like, I ain't got no issue with nobody, man. I ain't trying to be, you know, all I do on here is just, I just speak the facts, man, and try to give people information that they could use to make their own decisions. You know what I'm saying? And if it hurts people's feelings, you know, that is what it is. I'm not trying to slander dudes, but I'm going to be honest about dudes. And I'll be honest about myself, just like I always am, you know, just to put that there, you know, just to put that in perspective. But yeah, so I was saying that because Moley ends up getting into it with, of all people, Jay. Yep, my first Inca, the one who loved to get violations, you know, the one that ended up sleeping with the girl who I was dating that ended up being my baby mama, you know, that guy. And it's crazy because I like Jay in so many ways. It was funny because I had a relationship with him. Like, I liked him in so many ways, but then I despised him in so many ways as well. And so when I heard about that, you know, and this is already when I'm so far removed from these guys. I don't hang out with them. I'm not around. This is like Milwaukee stuff, but I know of it. I know about it. And they end up getting into it. And basically, from my understanding, what I heard was that Moley actually shot at Jay. And then Jay told on him. How crazy is that? The most stand-up dude there is ever, right? This dude's supposed to be the most stand-up guy. And he told on Moley. And so I think Moley's going to do time behind that shit, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I hope he doesn't. But yes, and it was over, I think it was over like a female or some shit, you know, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. That I don't know the details, but that really did happen. And you know, it's just crazy how life works, man. It's crazy how life works, bro. I really do. Like, there's some satisfaction in it, bro. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, I remain humble about the situation to an extent, but I think about it. There was nobody that led the bashing of, quote unquote, somebody who cooperated more than this dude, Jay. You know, he was on the front line, picket line, you know, fuck snitches, dudes, rats, this and that, you know what I'm saying? Death before dishonor. And as soon as this dude got into like a real pinch, not know all you facing 10 years and all this bullshit, when he got into a real pinch, he folded. You know, he folded, and all that tough guy shit, all that time you did, all that, everything you ever did was for nothing. It means nothing now. Not a thing. And that sucks for him, you know, but it's the truth. I went through that element. I went through that stage. He's got to go through that one. I've been there. But yeah, just imagine that, man. And Jay was more decorated than I was. He had been around for a long time. He had a lot more, man, he had a lot more friends, probably brothers that he talked to. He was around forever, man. You know, he was a decorated king. You know, he had to use Inca for a while, you know, and he had the respect. So yeah, that just goes to show, man, all that shit for nothing. And here's another crazy part, Moley. Moley did a bunch of shit too. Moley rode it out in prison. Like, Moley was a rider in prison. I heard about him. You know, dudes used to tell me. I used to get word. Like, Moley was up there putting in work everywhere he was at. And so he had that going. He did the street thing, right? He got out. And you know what happened? There ain't even nobody around that he felt worthy of kicking it with anymore. How crazy is that? Like, he felt like the brothers, the guys that were running the chapter in 19th Street were so garbage that he would rather be by himself. That was shocking, but not shocking, because I know the guys that were running it, and I agreed with Moley. You know what I mean? Listen, I turned over a new leaf in my life, but I knew what it took to be that kind of person, you know, and it took a lot of sacrifice. And it took everything. It took your life, bro. It takes your life, consumes you. Not everybody is willing to be like that. Not everybody is willing to sacrifice. And so, yeah, man. Anyway, so that's Moley in a nutshell. You know, I wish I had some different kind of stories. Like, I was with him, but he was younger than me as well. He was younger. Like I said, he was more sporadic early on in his career when he came around us, but he ended up being a staple of 19th Street. You know, he ended up being what 19th Street was about. And so that's basically all I got. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I mean, I'm sorry for the delays and the pauses, but I like to think before I say something, you know, because I don't want to sound stupid. But I appreciate y'all. I'll be back again soon. If you got any requests, go ahead and email them. And talk to y'all soon. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Normalized Crime. Stay tuned for the next episode.